Here comes that temptation. Mean Sam. He's saved. We saved him. You're gonna make it, brother. Untied. You're gonna make it, brother. You're saved by the power of Jesus. Now, I realize how silly I am. I could say this to my people, and they'd understand it without the kindergarten illustrations. But some of them out there have been bound so long, their mind is atrophied. And I've got to get their attention. Oh, I know how many are saying that Scott's preaching you can do anything. I'm preaching that it's none of my business what you do. It's none of anybody else's business what you do. It's yours and God's business what you do. And I'm saying God's going to save faithers. And the saving experience is to put all your sins on Christ and leave them there in terms of judgment. To put you in Christ as a finished product in terms of imputation. That's so the traditionalists will know I know their words. This is one they don't really know. Only philosophers know this one. Existentially, put his spirit in you. And that life in you is contrary to the flesh. Nobody's ever accused Scott of recommending adulterating. I abhor violence, but I'll guarantee you every male staff member on my staff knows he better be ready to whip the old man physically if he ever fools around and I find out about it with another staff member's wife. I won't wait for the husband to do it to him. I'm almost fanatical on that subject. I mean, my Lord, man, they're going to be 7-1. You're going to ding around and find a single one. And with AIDS and herpes. I don't agree with Paul Well, it's a curse on the homosexuals. That's as stupid as the people that used to say it was God's will for people to have polio until Salk found a vaccine. Science has proven that AIDS began in Zaire, the one nation in this world with the smallest percentage of homosexuality of any nation we know of. Paul Well's phony on that subject. You. I haven't even started yet. I got to take care of adultery. I mean, God makes it clear that it is not the Holy Ghost in you that wants to adulterate. It's the flesh in you that wants to adulterate. But when you start failing, God puts His Spirit in you. It ought to be my job and the task of the church to communicate God's message, grace and peace, and give the Spirit a little while to work it out. Well, now let's come to the next one. Fornicating. There are people on their face that watch me and record me. Finally, our prayers are answered. He's preaching against sin. No, I'm not. I'm defining the flesh. Sin is to fall short of God's standard. And flesh, because it is horizontally and earthly oriented, tends to sight short of this mark. Now, go ahead and check if you want to. I'm going to just blow all kinds of traditions here. And I'm going to create confusion and just leave it. Check any commentary you want to check. I don't care where you go. Just check them all. The word we translate fornicate is the Greek word that is the cognate of our word pornography. Oh my God, he maybe opened the door a little there now. Well, we'll see, won't we? I just believe in accurate scriptural presentation. The flesh likes pornography, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, including the worship of my own spiritual imagery, including biblolatry. Try that one on for size. It's probably going to create a little bit of confusion and just leave you there. You know you can worship the book more than God? It's like falling in love with a love letter instead of the one who wrote it. Finally, your husband comes home from the wars. You tell him to sleep in the other room because you've got his love letters spread all over the bed and you don't want them messed up. Biblolatry. Just leave you there. Witchcraft. Hatred. It's amazing. How many Christians will hate you if you fornicate or adulterate? Am I boring you? I'm just telling you what the flesh is. But man tends to decide this flesh is okay, and that flesh is awful. Do you know how much hatred I have inspired this week by preaching on grace and peace? They're sitting there hating me in the name of Jesus. Well, they're in the same camp, friend. It's flesh as the other fellas that's sitting there watching the Playboy Channel and adulterating with his mind and fornicating with his mind. No. That right there is where I dither with the Scripture. It's okay for me to hate old Scott when he lights up that cigar. All I'm saying to you is it's all flesh. And any dumb fool that opens his eyes can recognize flesh. Adulterating, pornography, and all these other big words. Hatred, variance, emulations, wrath. Seditions, heresies. Heresies, such as thou shalt and thou shalt not, as the formula of Christianity. The heresy that denies grace and peace. Envyings, murders, drunkenness. There it is, I'm telling you. I just hate a dirty old drunk. I'm telling you, you know, some of these, you ever see those things, those shows they have on TV that have applause meters? You could hide behind a curtain and go to a traditional church and read sins. Boy, would they applaud on some of them and be dead silent on the others. Drunkenness! We don't need the rest of the whole verse. All we need is adultery, fornication, and drunkenness. That's all you need. Forget the rest of it. It ain't important. See? Most of these old bats and old stinking goats in these traditional churches have lost the ability to make anybody want to adulterate or fornicate with them, and they don't know how to have a good time, and who would want to have a drink with them? So they sit in there non-adulterating, non-fornicating, non-drinking glory and just hate everybody. I warn you.
No, sir.
It's harder and harder to love some damn Christian. That's it. That's enough. That's enough. Call it. That's enough. Don't get carried away now. Revelings. Don't start reveling in here. Revelings and such like. Of the which I tell you before, as I have in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Well, if they want to get me for what they've zeroed in on me, it's all right with me. I'll fight it out with them in hell when we both get down there, they for their hating. Then we hear the evangelist with his little toupee jumping up and down while he jumps up and down. And there'll be no sin in heaven! Fool! All of that is put on Christ. Sure, we do those things, but because we faith put on Christ and died with Him. So it ain't going to heaven. Well, what about the drunk? They ain't drunks in heaven? Not on wine. Because that side of his nature, the old man, died with Christ. But when he started faithing, not only was his sin put on Christ, and he viewed as a non-drunk in Christ, a life came into him without so much taste for the stuff. And give it enough time, he's going to go out some night, and behold, all things have become new. Some things, former things, are passed away. And he's going to try his best to go and be like he's always been. But now one glass suffices, or he can't stand the stuff. Now, come on now. I'm serious now. How many of you, without ever dreaming it would happen, started faithing and receiving the grace and the peace of God, and suddenly a lot of your tastes have changed? That's my cry as a pastor. Why can't we give God a chance to work that miracle? All you do by hammering on you about it is get you so wrapped up in focus on your flesh, trying to kill it yourself. You can't kill it unless you're ready to take a shotgun and blow your head off. The flesh is there. It's there. We know what it looks like when it comes out. But the fruit. Now, what's the nature of fruit? Has anybody ever produced fruit by yelling at a tree? Let's go out in the orchard and set up blackboards. Now, thou art an apple orchard. Get that. You over there, Brother Apple Tree number one, thou shalt not be a peach. And you, Sister Apple Tree number four, produce apples. They look like this. Thou shalt be an apple. I feel like I preach foolishly today, but I'm determined to get some thoughts across to the retards. Fruit is the inevitable outgrowth of life in the tree. It's going to grow. Apples are going to push their way out. Now, I'm telling you, when you faith, God creates a battlefield called you. He already has escaped you from the consequences of your sin, and he's already delivered you into Christ as a finished product, but he has created a battlefield by depositing in you his spirit that has an urge to go a direction that is eternal and Godward, that is not oriented in the same direction the flesh is oriented, and if it's left alone, it's going to win. My job, therefore, is to create the atmosphere that gives this life to you. I should preach God's performance that brings forth faith that cometh by hearing the word of God, because when you turn faith loose, God's going to get in you, and look out, brother, sister, he'll change you without me shaking you. Come then, Brother Scott, that you can still light that cigar up if the Spirit's in you. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance. Where's the cigar smoking? Huh? Oh, now you're playing by a different set of rules. You're quoting the Bible. That ain't fair. Well, there are people that say, I believe he'll do anything on TV. I won't adulterate, fornicate, cigar smoking is not in the list. Hot dog. I think I'll go home and light one up. Now listen to me. Good morning.
No, sir.
I never even got this sermon started. You're going to have to turn on about 7 o'clock today. I'm going to quit. I'm going as far as I can go. You got the message?
Yes, sir.
Let God do it. Well, you know, I like this adulterating, fornicating, drunken, reveling life I got. Well, you know, you're like a man that never knew how much he could love a family till he had one. You don't have any perspective yet. You haven't got the new desires. You haven't become a new creation in Christ Jesus. But you're under such pressure that you need God's help. And you don't like the way your life's going, then you need to claim the promises of God. Well, all I'm saying to you is when you grab them, the motivation to faith is God's performance, not a club on your flesh. But once you start faithing, you got a new perspective. You're a new creation. You suddenly find your tastes have changed. You keep faithing and the Spirit stays around long enough, you can't hardly believe that old man you were. This verse says, without equivocation, if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under law. Most people can't get past that rope long enough to start faithing and have the leader, God's Spirit, get in you long enough to influence your behavior. I am determined, maybe the first time in 2,000 years, to build a church that lets God do the changing. And I, like God, take you where you are, as He takes me where I am. And we don't judge one another. We just study God's faithfulness and learn to grab His promises. And look out, God will do the rest. Now listen to me. John is doing wonderfully well. The surgery is taken. The last reports are he's mending well and he's going to make it. But let's keep praying, okay? Now, will you be looking at me at 7 o'clock today? Come on, Sam, I'm going through. Let's faith now and get this 2 million. You know, if you faith to get this 2 million, you may really get changed with the power of God in you. I'll see you at 7. Scorching Sunday afternoon. I thought summer was in June or July. It's August. Miami, I'm a pastor of a church in Miami, and we love Dr. Scott. We have been faithing and teaching salvation by grace for many years, and we've been persecuted by the James followers. We're going to get a satellite dish and tune him in 24 hours a day. I'd love Dr. Scott to call me. Huh. Well, here, Sammy, go call him. That's the first message I got. I'm live right now. It's kind of hard for me to call anybody. I've been having a real problem on Sunday morning. You know, normally I can handle women all right. But there's some women I don't really want to handle. We've had one been just driving our ushers crazy for the longest time. Really been driving them crazy. Today, she outwitted all of them. I mean, she was waiting for me. I don't really want to turn Chris loose because she has a proneness to stomp on hoods. And, you know, we are in our best behavior for these several months and not wanting to engage in violence. But I think I need, first time I've ever suggested it, I think I need some, about four or five ladies to function as ushers and pray for this lady next Sunday. Some of you real prayer warriors that will volunteer, I want you to talk to Mike. And you know, it's kind of getting out of hand. I mean, this one's been at it for over a year, I think. I mean, they've tried everything they can do.
Today, she was waiting. But I chose to come in a different car this morning. So I got in before she figured out it was me and Chris. I didn't know anything about it. Apparently the police were waiting to see what she did. And when I pulled out, she outwitted all of my ushers. She was waiting a block away and then stepped in front of my car. And I was able to matriculate past because luckily there was no traffic coming. And I suppose a policeman had been watching. They would have got me because she ran right out in the crosswalk. And what do you do in that case? I think I need about 7 good lady ushers next Sunday that are real prayer warriors. So we'll take volunteers, and Mike, you get all the phone numbers of those that want to be prayer warriors next Sunday. And I have really intelligent ladies that can pray her through. I'm married to my church, and I don't have any real hankerings for a woman, and if I did, I know it ain't gonna be one that's chasing me. I like to pick and choose. And I'm a patient man, but these are the kind of people that kill public figures. And it's rather hard for my men to handle it. I think women have reserves of talent in that regard that are untapped. And I'm going to put her in your capable hands. Enough said?
Yes,
ladies, and Mike Rodriguez will take the volunteers. And he will see to it that I just think it's better if some ladies have to call the police on her than men. Women have a knack of acting like men, bully them. Some women. And I prefer, since it's obvious she's going to be a problem until the police decide to do something about it, I'd rather have women handle it. So, be intelligent. Know this, I'm against violence. I'm not kidding you there. But I'm going to have some ladies ushers and let the ladies call the police. Because women have always the martyr role they can play when men are doing it. She's a very serious problem. God must be going to do something when all the nuts come out. And we've been having them. I have a couple of other preachers I could nominate that you could suggest, ladies, that would buy her a ticket to send her to see. This one's not interested. Now, can we get down to more important things?
Yes, sir.
I can count on the ladies in my church. They'll have it. Women like that never expect to have to deal with a woman. A lot of people bought today. A lot of people bought. Now, wait a minute. You guys brought everything out of my car except the most important thing. Right? Well, yeah, where do you put that off by itself? That always goes right on the top. My Bible goes here and the cigars go. Those cigars have become the symbol of freedom here. And when I get back to the book of Galatians tonight, I brought a whole bunch of stuff. I brought the prestigious pulpit commentary to show the authority of James never taking a bath for fear that he might somehow sin against the Lord. personally did more to set the church back than any single person. He went and died in Jerusalem. You think he's going to heaven? Yeah, I do. I think that. I think my granddad's going to heaven. I hope that God puts James and my granddad in a double room. You know, if I can just do the logistics of room space and other such things in heaven, I'll be able to turn it into hell for some people, even though they squeaked in. My granddad wouldn't put such a yoke on himself that he couldn't live it and wouldn't let anybody else live it. He was the embodiment of the modern Pharisee, of the type that Jesus talked about. You put such a yoke on yourself, you can't make it in, you won't let anybody else in. My mother, she's the only one in that family that got extricated from his damnable legalism till I got old enough to help her. I'm convinced the man never would have got any sense. Good man, you know, meaner than hell. Blacksmith. He knew good preaching when he heard it. He considered most preaching terrible preaching. You could always tell that the preacher wasn't doing very good because granddad, he had fingernails that were like... I believe he could have cut a tube before with them. You know, those real iron-hard fingernails that some people have. And when he'd take a knife and begin to scrape them with his old pocket knife, it was like you were planing lumber. And when the preacher started doing bad, you could always see Grandpa, Grandpa Scotland, back there cleaning those nails. Go ahead and sit down over the phone, Sam. Old Grandpa Graves, he'd have his knife out. You'd see him looking down because he was disagreeing with the preacher. You knew he wanted to go up there and hit him. He was the one that hit a guy, made him mad once, knocked him back about 10 feet, and the guy's backside hit a Jenny and a mule, they're not the same, are they? And he was one of those long-eared things. And when he hit it, the mule went down, and the guy went down on top of it. I mean, he just hit the guy, and he, 10 feet away, hit the mule, and both of them go down. He's the one I tried my judo on when I was a teenager. I'd learned all these little fancy little things, you know, and I had that move down perfected, you know, where they come at you with a knife and hit him like that, and lock an elbow around. I got him in a move where I could somersault him backwards, and he just let me take him all the way back, and then and I hit the wall on the other side. When he was 60, you know, 70 or 65, I guess, well, somewhere around there, in his 60s, he'd stand barefooted and kick the light bulb that was about a foot above his head, you know. He's a mean old man. Grandma, he'd say, Artie! That was her name, Artie. He'd say, Artie! And she'd just tremble. I wonder where I get all my expertise in legalism. See, Mom and Dad traveled in evangelism. My granddad raised me for many, 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 many months. I felt guilty when I got up, and I felt guilty when I laid down. Well, anything I could do wasn't wrong. My mother was the only one. You got extricated until I grew up. And then he always liked me for some reason or other. I obeyed him, but he saw something in me that he knew. And I was saying to myself, I'm going to kill you one of these days. And he liked me. And when I started preaching, he thought I was the only preacher that made sense. And he couldn't argue with what I was saying. You know, he put his pocket knife away and sit there and look. And between the two of us, we got him redeemed before he died. Got good sense in his head. His last few years were his happiest years. There are lots of people like that. Just so bound up in traditions. And they have too much character, really, too much character to be a hypocrite as they view it. And they know that all this horse spit being peddled by the church is exactly that. They know these people aren't doing what they preach. They lay trips on everybody and they don't do it themselves. How many of you got friends and relatives like that? They believe in God, and they really believe that crap. So they say, that ain't it, you know. I just hope I have a chance to die in a plane crash so I can repent on the way down. But they're not about to. I can still hear my granddad, and he raised a whole bunch of sons just like him. Clara and Harold and Kenneth. Ever gotten in a fight, I'd like to have them at my side. If ever needed anything, they'd do anything for you. Say something about Ted Nines, as they used to call him, makes Mom just hates that. Her name is Inez, but the family call her Ines. She hates that. I just see her grit her teeth when Grandpa would say, Ines! She's just doing this right now at home. She's going. If I say anything about Ted Nines, and they're going to whoop them. Now, I've heard it from all of them. Well, I tell you this, if I ever decide to be a Christian, I'm going to live it. Not going to be like the rest of these. And they knew. I mean, you know, a couple of them grew up working for the biggest shot in the church. That was his view of himself. You could change one of the vowels and you'd have the real. I mean, I'm going to let you be creative tonight. He knew that guy's crookedness. Honest, wonderful people pay their debts. Best workers you'd ever find on a job always end up boss because of the way they put out. You can't be a Christian. It's too hard. They know you can't do all them things, and you got to do all them other things. And they're honest enough to know they can't do it. So they won't even try. Grandpa would take Artie to church. But he could preach better than that fellow up there stumbling around. And finally, I was able to give him some sense. Preach the truth, and you know, people like this, when they hear it, they know the truth when they hear it. It has a ring to them, and it sets them free. You know, I found out today about two people back in Connecticut. I don't think they've ever called me. I found it through connections in a business connection. They've watched me for 6 years. Just love me. Sons of Baptist, of a Baptist minister that have been set free. But never ever call me to tell me. That's what we're doing. You that have watched me for 10 years have probably figured out I started pulling the stops out even a little more. And it's rousing people. Now the question is, we gonna let the devil shut us up? We gonna let the Pharisees shut us up? Them change. Pharisees never change. They'd like to get me crucified. They'd rather have a murderer, Barabbas, than a preacher of grace and peace. Now, I said this morning, am I foolish? I should go tomorrow morning, let's say, to Larry, who makes the calls for me on the time buying, I should say, cancel them all. Concentrate on Dallas-Fort Worth, Los Angeles, and San Francisco, where they're paying the bill. Would you believe it? Would you believe it that New England has dropped so drastically they're not even paying the airtime in the two stations in New England? Brent, I ain't going to do it. Leastways, not today. And God says, as thy day, so shall thy strength be. August ain't over. And our problem is very easy to solve. $2 million. Just twice as much as we've been giving. Now, there's some who can't. You know, and I believe that. There's some who gave twice as much when we went on satellite and been given that same amount ever since. And they're just finally proving that they can do what they didn't believe they could do when they gave that first doubling. That's just a few. We have 31,000 King's Houses. And 31,000 King's Houses, plus thousands of people that watch. We still have people become King's Houses that say, I watched for 7 years. I watched for 5 years. People that haven't yet become King's Houses, there's more than enough new people that we pick up each month to compensate for those that genuinely can't double up. But there are just a lot of our people who can double up. That's all it takes. I'm just so mad. I was saying, Christine, on the way in here, I didn't say it this way, but this was in essence what was going on. Are these carping Pharisees laying guilt trip and condemnation on people nationwide going to be able to make it? And this message of freedom and grace and peace and the power of God to change us, if we will work at faith instead of legalism, if we'll turn our energy into taking God's word, and you know, it's like recharging a battery. My engineer's got a battery phone that we've been using. Well, it works fine until the battery goes down. And when the battery goes down, you have to plug it into the charger. Well, that's what faith does to your spiritual battery, which is the new life in you. You know, if I could find a